This is North Shore Today for Tuesday. Hi, everyone. I'm Bill Newell on this 23rd day of February, along with Rick Moore. And in today's program, we have Mike Hale, the DPW director from City of Gloucester, and also comedian Ira Potter, who is going to be performing at the Cabot Theater in Beverly this Saturday night. Ira will join us in just a few moments here in the program as well to talk about a number of different things. And Rick, we got some maybe some snow, maybe some rain in our forecast coming in the next 24 hours or so. And we'll touch on a few of the local news stories of the day as well here.
Yeah, it's supposed to be up in the 50s, so whatever snow we get is supposed to turn to rain once again. And I checked the forecast up country, same thing up there. In fact, I talked to an owner of an inn up in North Conway yesterday by phone. And he's been there 70 years, and he said it's the worst winter they've ever had up there, meaning no snow.
Yeah. Well, that's not good.
I was inquiring about maybe going up there some weekend doing a sleigh ride and not that kind of thing. He said, forget about it, not happening.
Maybe see the elves, things like that. Things that you like to do on a winter weekend. Yeah. All right. So
play a little outdoor tennis. Go for a swim. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Do a polar plunge up there at Winnipesaukee, something like that. Whatever.
There you go. Well, Winnipesaukee, all the outdoor activities, there's another lake, too. They have sled dog races, and they usually put an airport. They put an airport on the ice at Winnipesaukee every winter and have snowmobile races on the ice. That ain't happening either.
No, yeah. So it's probably not – is it not frozen? Well, parts of it have to be frozen, I would think. But
I don't think so.
No?
I don't know. Nah. It's not safe. That's all I know. I don't know about Winnipesaukee, but the other lake they're talking about up in – further north in North Conway, that is not safe. So I really don't know about Winnipesaukee. Maybe somebody can let us know. But it's just very unusual, very, very strange winter.
Well, I would think if that other lake isn't frozen, then Winnipesaukee wouldn't be either, because
yeah,
that's the big one. And although we did have some cold weather, it was just a week ago, a little over a week ago, we had those record-breaking cold temperatures, but only for a few days, and so whatever. Well, Rick, let's move on here. Just a quick note here on Mike Hale, DPW director. Just a quick note on that, just to preview listeners what that is about. Plus, we also have him up in a separate post, correct? Yeah.
Yeah, lots of happening on the waterfront in Gloucester, especially on the boulevard where this Man at the Wheel statue is. That whole boulevard thing all the way out to Stageford Park is under reconstruction, and so he gives us an update on that, when it ought to be finished, what it's going to look like, and so on. And then much like Gino Cresta did in Swampscott, he lets us know about other things happening in and around the city.
The in Swampscott, in the Daily Item, there's a couple of news stories. One is the chairman of the Linfield School Committee is not seeking re-election. Her name is Cleary, and the town moderator in the town of Swampscott, he's not seeking re-election either. So just a couple of notes out of the front page of the item. And Rick, there's also a story in the Salem News. I believe this is the second day they've done this, not consecutively. I think the other one was Saturday. But basically it's saying that the headline is Latino voters talk of harassment at polls. And this was done by Paul Layton. One of our former sports guys, but anyways, it goes on to say that officers, elections workers allegedly prohibited sample ballots, language assistance, and different things. So then, and some of those things I think date back, if I read the story from before, date back a few years, but just an interesting story, and I'm glad the Salem News is covering that. That's a good story for them to be covering, and we'll follow up with that, and we'll keep folks posted on that one.
Yeah, up in Cape Ann, surprise, the city and the YMCA have reached a deal in Gloucester on the Fuller site. Ray Lamont, very quickly, I'll read this. A partnership spearheaded by the Cape Ann YMCA as its $5.1 million purchase offer and mixed-use concept for the former Fuller School site accepted by the city. It will now move forward in crafting plans for new YMCA, 170 new rental housing units and 80,000 square feet of new retail space on the 10.6-acre parcel. So the city is getting $5 million, apparently, on what was once a $19 million property.
Awesome.
Oh, one more thing. I'm sorry, Bill. One other thing. Bruce Tarr will be in town. Senator Tarr will be in Gloucester. He will be visiting Gloucester on Tuesday. That would be today as we record this. Senator Bruce Tarr, representatives of the MBTA, will be at Gloucester City Council to discuss the status of plans for replacing the Anasquam River commuter rail bridge, which is way, way outdated. So it's an informational meeting on Tuesday tonight at 7 p.m. at Gloucester City Hall.
Also, Rick, I know you were headed to Peabody City Hall for an interview yesterday, Monday, but they had some flooding there. So that area just can't catch a break. But the City Hall, they had the natural flooding in parts of the square there for years now. But now they had a water main break, I guess, was the problem at the City Hall. And so they had flooding in the basement of City Hall yesterday. So, again, just it just seems like a recurring headline in the city of Peabody, but this was due to a water main break.
Yeah. The chief of staff, the mayor's chief of staff, Christopher Ryder, emailed people yesterday. I got an email yesterday morning about that, canceling my meeting with Mayor Betancourt. So hopefully I'll get to see him next week. And
all right, you broke up there at the end, Rick. Get to see him next week, and
I'm just saying that the flooding, the water main break, will probably be a topic of discussion.
Gotcha. All right. Well, on that note, let's hold our sports till the end. We got a number of interviews here coming up. So, Ira Proctor will be joining us again. The comedian who's coming to the Cabot Theater in Beverly on Saturday night as part of a program. And by the way, on the bottom of our post, we have the whole program posted down there for you if you'd like to see that. Plus one of the other guys, there's a video of him doing the Craig Ferguson show from a couple of years ago. That's not Ira doing it, but one of the other comedians. And then we also, Mike Hale, DPW City of Gloucester, you want to stay tuned for that. That'll be coming up as well in just a few moments right here on North Shore Today. Well, comedian Ira Proctor is joining us right now here on MSONewsSports.com. And Ira is going to be at the Cabot Theater on Saturday, the 27th, and with that comedy show in Beverly. And Ira, welcome to our program. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, you know, the program, do you have a specific spot in the program that you know of right now in Beverly, or you just...
I believe I'm last.
Oh, nice. Generally. Congratulations. Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's a good show all the way through. The other guys on it, I was surprised. Chris Zito's on the show. I never get to work with him because he's usually going last. Dan Bulger, he's been on Comedy Central a million times. He's really great. And Dave Decker from up there is on the show as well, so it's a crazy lineup.
Yeah, we had we talked to Dave Decker last week, I think it was. So that's great. Well, now before we get going, I want to talk about a few things with you. But you know, I understand that you're in the process of making a movie with Steve Sweeney and Sharon Stone. Is that right?
Yeah. It's a movie written by the guy who actually wrote The Fighter with Donnie Wahlberg, a movie about Mickey Ward. He wrote this one, and we've been filming it for a while. And, yeah, there's a bunch of different stars that are getting involved now, Sharon Stone and some other people. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Wow, sounds great. And when will that movie come out?
I don't know. I have no idea what they're doing with it. They just call me in and have me film a little bit every once in a while, and then I'm not filming for a while, and then I'm filming again. And, you know, it's one of these things. It's like an independent project, and then they're going to shop it around and stuff. But they're actually getting really good people in the industry interested in doing the movie with us. So you know, it's exciting, it's fun. But I do not know when it's going to come out, or you know, if it's only going to play in one theater once. And you know,
well, they got Ira Proctor in. It's got to be good, right? The let me ask you about a couple of other things. Just a quick other background question, just for our listeners. That you also do a lot of other clubs, and or you have your own club and do casinos and different things.
Yeah, I got a club down the Cape that we run during the summer. I do a lot of cruise ships. Do a lot of casinos. Now trying to stay away from the cruise ships now because it's tough. You know, I got family. I got four kids.
Oh.
I know. Two sets of twins. I got them within 2.5 years of each other. So it was an instant family.
Now, you can't just have two sets of twins. You got to go out and purchase two sets of twins, I would think, right? You just can't have them, right?
It happened fast. You know, we we decided to have kids, and we had them all quick.
Wow. I mean, I think you should play some kind of a lottery number, but I'm not sure what number I'd play, whatever that is. Yeah.
I know. I know we wanted. You know, it's funny because I wanted to have a son, and I had two girls at the beginning, and then we tried again, and I said, well, maybe we'll have a son this time, and we had two sons, so it worked out.
Well, I guess it evens out.
Right.
All right. Well, not that you were looking to even things out, but there you go. Hey, so in your act, I understand one of the things that you talk about is food. So, and you like Julia Childs, but you don't like this guy Emerald, who's incredibly popular right now.
Yeah,
with those.
Yeah, he's just popular because it's today. You know, people don't remember Julia. Julia was us. You know, she was a New Englander. That's where she came from. She lived in Cambridge. And this Emerald, he was from New England as well. But when you ask, I go around the country, I ask people, you know, where's he from? Where's Emerald from? Everybody says New Orleans. He abandoned us. Julia stayed right here, and she did the show like a true New Englander. She did it drunk. She was out of her mind. She went, welcome to the French Chef.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if she would have made it nowadays with those strict cooking and drinking laws they have now.
I know. She used to literally take a swig out of the wine and then pour it into the soup.
If there was any left. Right. Yeah, exactly. Right. Now I saw a story, and it mentioned that McDonald's is canceling their big breakfast. As you know, they're serving breakfast all day long, but I guess it must have been just too much. The eggs, the biscuits, the muffins,
yeah,
whatever,
I feel like
the
that
sausage.
Is that is just catering to how lazy we're getting as a society. That you're waking up at 3 in the afternoon and still wanting breakfast.
That's a no-go for you then, huh?
Pathetic. It's pathetic. You know what? I'm happy, though. Is put the breakfast people over at McDonald's. I like Dunkin' Donuts, and I'm sick of the people coming there to eat. Dunkin' Donuts is for coffee only. That's it.
No, I'm with you on that. Or grabbing a donut that's already made. I see.
A donut's fine. That's it. You know, you start getting into bagels and cutting them and toasting them and cream cheese and everything else. It's too much.
Yeah, those days. And now people are at Dunkin' Donuts. They're getting their coffee. Then they're waiting for their food to come out. That's wrong, isn't it? Yeah, I get that.
Using the drive-thru. There used to be a sign that used to say, no sandwiches in the drive-thru. Now you show up at 6 in the morning. You can barely keep your eyes open. And some idiot in front of you, you can just see one head, and they're talking too long. Can I get a sausage, egg and cheese, a large, regular, extra, extra? You ever get so mad you tailgate somebody in a drive-thru?
Well, you know,
you just pull up right after them.
Well, my partner and I, we've griped about going into the convenience store and having people buy lottery tickets for like 20 minutes before they check out. But you're right. I mean, when you're in line at Dunkin' Donuts, and forget the food. How about the double lattes, the extra shot of such and such,
right,
and two more shots of this and light and 4 sugars and 3 creams or whatever.
Yeah, well, anything iced. You know, the iced. I used to work there. It's hard. You got to go get the ice. People ask you to do impossible things. Could you melt the sugar? Melt the sugar. If I had laser vision, I wouldn't be working at a Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, Dunkin' Donuts went downhill as soon as ice came in. You're right.
Yeah, it's no good.
All right. Now.
You know, everybody says it's the cops that messes it up. It's not the cops. It's the construction workers. They show up with an order on a 2x4. There's no paper on a construction site. They got sheetrock tablets like Moses is getting a coffee order for his people.
the other thing, too, I understand, Ira, is that now I'm not the thinnest guy in the world, but you're a little overweight, are you?
A little heavy, a little chunky. I am a little lazy. I don't like exercise.
But you tell me that. But you're a good person, correct?
I think that being fat makes you a good person. I think it makes you look better, first of all. We don't look old, right? There's no crow's feet on a fat person. I see a crow's foot, I eat a cupcake and pop it back out. And when there's no fat criminals. You never seen a fat guy dressed in black as a cat burglar. We'll get stuck in the window. You never seen a fat purse snatcher. I could steal your purse. The cops can show up 30 minutes later. I'm only going to be a block away because I can't jog. You know, where's the purse snatcher? You see the guy bent over holding a purse, puking all over the place? That'd be him.
You're right. When you look at those security videos or snapshots of when somebody robs a convenience store, even those guys, you know, with all the snacks there, you know, they're just going for the money.
Right. But those guys are generally thin, those guys that are running in and running out.
Yeah, exactly, right.
The fat guy, if he's involved in any way, he's waiting in the car.
All right.
Deal, man.
Ira, anything else you want to share with us as you get ready for coming to Beverly on Saturday night?
Coming to Beverly. I hope you guys, I hope people will come out and can support the show. It's a great show. I guess the Beverly Theater, or the Cabot there, is refinished and refurbished or something. They're saying there's all new seats in there and everything. So come and check out the show. And if not, just check out the renovations. And I think people really will laugh it up. It's a great show. If Dave Decker, if you talk to him, you know he's funny. And these other two guys, Zito and Bulger, they're hilarious. I think people will love it.
Now, when you come to Beverly, are you going to be looking to do other things in Beverly when you come up here or not?
I don't know. I mean, the only thing I know about Beverly is the hillbillies. But is there anything else going on up there that I should know about?
Well, they have a couple of banks on Cabot Street as well, and some great places to eat. Other than that, and they have a Dairy Queen that might be closed on Saturday. I'm not sure if they're open now in the winter or not. But
really selling it. I'm going to go to the Dairy Queen that might be closed.
Yeah. Well, I think it's open actually. I think it's open, and there's actually a lot to do in Beverly, but it's. But unless you talk to Steve Sweeney, I think he's going to downplay it a little bit, yeah.
Right. Well, maybe I'll head up there a little early and get something to eat.
Yeah. And we'll be safe. We won't. If there's any crime up there, we're not going to blame you on Saturday night.
Yeah, it won't be me.
Okay. All right, Ira, great talking with you. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Thank you, Bill.
Ira Proctor with us here on MSONewsSports.com.
Okay, we're in the office of Gloucester DPW Director Mike Hale. First of all, Mike, thanks for taking the time out. I know how busy it gets in the wintertime.
Yes, it's we've had a fairly traditional winter this year. Some snow, some rain, cold. This past week, it's felt nice to see the plow truck staying put.
All right, let's talk a little bit about that. As I came in, I noticed the pile of sand is pretty high over there. And, of course, everybody is still talking about last winter, and I had some questions still left over from that. But you've had a couple of storms. Trucks were out a lot. I'm just guessing that the major concern initially for DPW, and you got to correct me in terms of priority, is for safety, fire safety, police safety, and traffic safety.
Yes, a plowing, sanding operation, or salting operation as it is now, the primary purpose is to make sure that the roads are passable for emergency vehicles, police, fire, ambulance. More modern plowing operations have looked to making it better for commerce, business, mm-hmm. making sure the downtown areas are clear. You want to make sure your trailer trucks or your delivery trucks can get through, mail, deliveries, so forth. It's not necessarily a convenience operation to make that all streets are black and snow-free at the end of a storm. Some people would prefer that, but that's not the purpose of snow and ice operations.
Okay, well, that's kind of what I thought, and I still look back to last year and the amazing job that you and your guys did. And I do remember Main Street where it was two stories high drifts there, but Main Street at least was clear for pedestrian traffic, for cars, and for businesses. So still a remarkable job looking back on last year. Now, if we do that and take a look back on last year, how much does that take away from the normal routine that you guys have to do? Because there's so much ordinary maintenance, I'm guessing, on a day-to-day basis, but you had to put a lot of your facilities toward snow removal.
We actually wound up giving back to the city a fair amount of our budget last year. We didn't stop moving from the end of January till the end of April mm-hmm. for snow and ice. There was traditional plowing, salting, snow removal, but then there's a lot of damage caused by the winter alone, whether it's street signs that were hit. We had over 30 fire hydrants hit last year, so the utility division spent an extremely mm-hmm. a large amount of time trying to put all those hydrants back in service so the neighbors have fire protection that they need. Curbs, guardrails, anything that wasn't visible during a plowing operation was hit. And that really prevented us from doing what we had planned for March and April. Mm-hmm. Traditional times of year when you get back out there, we start getting the city ready for spring and summer. We just couldn't do it last year. That budget went unspent.
Okay. I didn't realize that. So that being said, traditional preparedness now, are we getting ready for spring at this point? And if so, what are some of the things that DPW has on its agenda?
So we are getting ready for spring. We've taken advantage of this past week, which was snow-free, fairly warm. We're obviously out doing pothole work. We have our spring paving lined up. It may not happen right away. It's a funding issue with timing. We're doing some renovations to the visitor center at Stage Fort Park. Stage Fort Park's an old septic system. We're running sewer up to the building in the next few weeks, getting that ready for the season. We're taking a look at all of our parks and ball fields and seeing what needs to be done. Mm-hmm. We have some tree planting that we're planning on doing once April hits. We did some guardrail repairs the last week and a half. All very basic stuff that gets us ready for when the real spring weather comes, which then we focus more on grass mowing and ball field lining and that stuff.
Okay, cool. And now, obviously, there's a huge project going on the boulevard and Gloucester's waterfront up towards Stage Fort Park, and that is, I'm guessing it's probably state involvement here. How much is the DPW involved in that, and what is the role?
So the seawall repair at Stacy Boulevard, it's a city project. It has a huge funding support from Seaport Bond Council, state agency, of over $5.5 million. And then the city has its share in there as well. It's a $7 million project. It's about 2,000 feet of seawall reconstruction. I've done over $100 million worth of projects in the city of Gloucester. Most of them are buried. They're pipe. You don't see them. This is a seawall project. You can see it from the shore side. You can see it from the water. It's one of those projects that's done once in a generation or multiple generations. I mean, the construction that we're doing down there right now is a widespread concrete footing, concrete backing wall, and then putting the original granite back at the face of this wall. So it'll still have the same look and feel that it's always had. It just won't be falling apart in mm-hmm. our lifetime. It's just a great project to see, and it showcases the beauty of Stage Fort Park and Stacy Boulevard. And we're hoping that we get this project wrapped up by mid to late summer. We're more than halfway through it. Certainly the first 8 to 10 months of the project was very narrow as you're coming out of Stage Fort Park, not a lot of room for the contractor to work. But they're working. They haven't stopped yet. They're working right through the winter.
That looks great, too, that new wall over there going out toward the park. Looks great. All right, so that taking place, that's huge, and it's been ongoing. It does look great. Plus the stairways down to the beaches at low tide in front of Stacy Boulevard, a couple of those were actually destroyed, so that all has to be redone, I presume?
Everything that was there will be put back in some way. We're having access from the seawall itself down to the beaches. There'll be new railings, new lighting, new pedestrian, wider walkways so you can walk, you know, a couple can walk side by side in both directions. We're also working with the city's planting committees to do some more formal gardens down there. There's very beautiful gardens, but they're not tied together as well as we may like them to be. We're looking to move past that and create something that has some more rhyme and reason to it, and really showcase the seawall's beauty, the area's beauty to both the residents and the visitors to our city.
And it is one of the most beautiful spots in the world. We're lucky to have that. So that's cool. Now, the other thing, in conjunction with that, we had a storm recently. I know there's been some controversy about building on the rocks over on the back shore that is going before city council and so on. But there was some, I don't know if there was a lot of damage, but there were a lot of rocks thrown up on the roadway. And that happens every so often, and that puts another tax, another burden on DPW. I'm guessing it's your job to have to remove that stuff and push it back and make it look better?
Whenever you have a significant storm surge from like a nor'easter or something like that, astronomically high tides, we frequently see carryover from the back shore onto the roadway itself. And that can be everything from small rocks to large rocks to driftwood. Anything that's floating or not floating, just shoreside, comes up on the Atlantic Road itself. We've probably cleaned up 2 or 3 times this winter alone, and it hasn't been that bad a winter. We work very close with the Gloucester Police Department on blocking that road off during major storm events. People are curious, they're drawn to the waves, they want to see what's going on. But I can recall a storm a year ago with a cruiser sitting there, and something the size of a telephone pole washed up just in front of the vehicle. Hmm. It would have crushed the car, certainly. But it happens. It happens every year.
How has the change been in terms of the city taking over now the the maintenance of the schools, I guess. Again, that's an added burden that has been put onto DPW. I guess it's been going on for a couple of years now. So how's that working out overall?
I think it's working out well both for Public Works and for the school department. The school department's primary focus is education, and that's their chosen path. They want to educate the students. Building maintenance had fallen off over the last 15, 20 years, probably as a result of having to make hard choices between do you educate or do you fix the building. It's difficult to trim on education because you only have that kid in that grade for that 1 year, and you can't skip a level, skip a lesson. So it made sense to put it in the hands of Public Works. That's what we do. We maintain. Our facility division has grown. We have some wonderful professional tradespeople in that division, and we just have a better handle on the maintenance. Mm-hmm. We focus on maintenance, and if you went through the schools, you'd see the mechanicals are in much better condition than they ever were. The roofing systems on most of the schools have been replaced. We have a big project before the state right now to re-roof the high school. The roof's at its life expectancy. It's 20 years old this year. It's time to replace that roof. So we're being as proactive as we can. We've prioritized the work. And I think the users of these buildings have recognized that there is some much-needed improvement being made.
I've taken a lot of your time. I got a couple of quick more things, if you don't mind. All right.
Please.
That also brings to mind the work that I think it's Scott Parisi. Is that his name? Scott Amiro over at Newell Stadium. The job that he does is amazing. I only see him during football season, but I'm guessing he's out there all year round.
So obviously Newell Stadium, state-of-the-art facility, something that the city's been craving for years. It's home to our high school sports and youth sports alike. Scott is a dedicated employee. He's dedicated to that facility. When that facility does shut down from around December 1st through mid-March, Scott's efforts are put into the high school. So he's on the campus of Gloucester High School. He does a wonderful job down there. We hope to keep that facility in the condition that we received it in, nearly new. It's a wonderful asset to the city, and we have a good employee working down there.
Absolutely. We have a lack of snow this year, but there's still been some plowing. So what's the condition of the streets? Are they less pounded upon than they ordinarily would be, say, like last year?
So last year was an exception, certainly. This year we're more on track for a traditional, Gloucester winter. We're a little bit lower on the snowfall totals, but it's not just snowfall that we're out there. When you have a warm day and the snow piles melt a little bit to the street, when it gets below freezing at night, we're out salting to make sure the roads are safe. So there's still a fair amount of salting that goes on. Plowing operations do take their toll in the streets, but salting does as well. So I don't think the streets have seen as much abuse as last winter, but I think they're kind of seeing what you'd expect to see for a Gloucester winter.
Mm-hmm. Mike, anything else you'd like to mention about DPW, maybe to the residents or of Cape Ann or Gloucester or whatever? Again, it's been, as we speak, it's probably 40 degrees but very sunny, and we're headed into spring season. I can't think of any other questions that I might have, but anything that you might want to mention that might be of interest or just that you want to get out there?
Well, from our perspective, the more eyes we have in the city, the better. So as residents see things that don't look right or should be repaired, please let us know. There are many ways you can do it. You can simply call Public Works, which is 978-281-9785. Or there's a mobile phone application. You can use it either on your mobile phone or on your computer called C-Click-Fix. That's C-Click-Fix. And you can anonymously or with your name register an issue with the proper department. And you get an email response back when we've received it and follow-up to when it's being done. It really helps us manage the city's needs because, again, we can't be everywhere, and people's perspectives on what they think needs to be done varies depending on who you talk to. So let us know. We can get on it.
What's the app again?
It's called C-Click-Fix.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, that is Mike Hale, the DPW Director in Gloucester.
Welcome back to North Shore Today. I'm Bill Newell along with Rick Moore. And again, our two guests today, Mike Hale, DPW Director, City of Gloucester, as you just heard, and Ira Proctor, our comedian. We do have Ira posted separately on our site as well, down below on the post, to listen to that portion of the interviews. And I was going to talk about a little bit about sports, Rick, and that The regular seasons are really wrapping up now. We saw last night, I think Peabody must have wrapped up their regular season in basketball with a win over Somerville. They've qualified for the tournament. Salem lost last night to Everett, but they've already qualified for the tournament, finishing the year at 19-3, and those three losses were to Lowell twice, I believe, and to Everett, but they went undefeated in the Northeastern Conference. And I see a couple of girls' hockey scores we have posted up there on the website from last night, and the Beverly boys tied Westwood at 3. But again, it's tournament time, and those tournament pairings don't come out until Friday. So we got a lot of we got a few days here to kind of I don't know what we're going to just kind of twiddle our fingers or whatever, but we got a few days just to hang around here and collect our thoughts as we get ready for postseason play, which will start next week.
Well, I invite people to check out the on-demand of North Shore Sports Night from last night. We got a terrific preview by Gary Larrabee, a sports writer, extraordinaire, really, sports writer, sports historian. But he's been following Danvers pretty closely, but also Division II in basketball gives a terrific review and preview. Also, you know, Marblehead hockey coach Bob Jackson talks about his team. They've got one more game to go. They're actually going to play on Friday night against Somerville. Gloucester's got one more game against Somerville on Wednesday. And talked with the Linfield hockey coach, too, John Gardner, who talks about his team and his chances in Division II. And it's funny, Bill, I talked to all these other coaches, and they've all scouted Marblehead, so I asked Bob Jackson, you know, they've all scouted you. Have you had a chance to scout them? And it doesn't work that way because he's just one team, and everybody has looked at Marblehead. So they've got the big target on their backs for sure going into the tournament.
Yeah, and they're undefeated. They have a tie, but other than that, right? They're undefeated. So they've had a fantastic
right.
year
yeah.
in Marblehead, and that's you know, they're kind of plotted along. They must have got that tie early in the year too, Rick. I'm not following it closer than I did, but
yeah, we actually did that game. It was about the sixth or seventh game of the season. It was Marblehead at Peabody. It was a 1-1 tie, and just an absolutely terrific hockey game. And I got to tell you, Bill, of all the years we've been doing this, I've seen the most fun hockey games, so many of them this year. They've been just so competitive and very, very good games. And I think the conference, at least our teams from the North Shore, could do very well in the tournament.
Right. And actually, there are some other games going on tonight. I think we had them in yesterday's post. No, I didn't have them in yesterday's post. But there are a few other sporting events happening tonight as well. So it's not over yet, but it's definitely winding down here. A couple more games here and there. Yeah, so I was just going to add one more thing. So we'll find out. We'll get those pairings on Friday and Saturday. As far as basketball, oh, I know what I was going to say. Gary Larrabee, Gary Larrabee has a website, and on his website he has kind of the game by game, blow by blow recount of the Danvers boys basketball season this year, and I think some things from the past as well. But you're right, he's got a lot of information on there, so you want to check that out. It's GaryLarrabee.com. GaryLarrabee.com. So that's pretty simple.
Did you see the picture of him with President Bush 1 and with Jack Lemmon on the website? It's pretty cool.
I don't remember that, no, but I may
have. Yeah, there are two different pictures. One has him with Jack Lemmon, the great actor, and another one with President Bush 1 when he was a golfer. And Gary apparently is going to be doing a book, at least that's in the works, to work with one of President Bush's aides, apparently, or someone who golfs used to golf with President Bush the Elder. So kind of cool. It's a terrific website. And Gary, you know, he's a great writer. So if you're interested in high school basketball in detail, check out Gary's website.
Yeah, absolutely. So do that. All right. Well, that'll do it for us for today. It is Tuesday. Have a great day today, and we'll hang in there. We'll be with you throughout the week here on North Shore Today, right here on MSONewsSports.com.